John McCaslin. Some of our Billings listeners may remember a few years ago, there was one of my favorite morning radio programs was a program called America's Morning News. And John McCaslin was the host of the program at the time. And I'll never forget, we got a message from Matt Desch with B Broadcasting in Kalispell. And he said, hey, he got his start in the Flathead Valley. Great to have John McCaslin now on the show with us. John, thanks for being back with us.
Aaron, it's good to hear your voice again. I actually tuned in. You're on KJJR still. And a great radio station here in the Flathead. I listened to your interview with my former producer at America's Morning News, A.J. Rice, just a few weeks ago, who's got a great book out, The Woking Dead, I believe it's called. You're obviously you're still at it, buddy, and I'm glad to hear it.
Well, yeah, I'm really lucky to be able to stay in this business this long, because you really get to see and meet a whole lot of folks over all the years. And yeah, for those who didn't know it, you're now back home in the Flathead. I mean, you didn't grow up in the Flathead, but it sounds like when you wanted to get back home, this is where you decided to come back to. So welcome back home to the Flathead.
Well, you know, I remember you telling me you had roots here. Mine were on my mother's side. I believe yours were on your dad's side, from what I had read. And I go back to my great-grandfather homesteading as well. He was actually I wrote a little column for the Beacon this week. They asked me to write about the family, and I did. My great-grandfather served in the Montana State Legislature back in the early 1900s, he was from Norway, and my granddad was a deputy sheriff here in Flathead County, and very proud. Mom left and joined the FBI. That's why I wasn't born here, but I sure as heck came as often as I could.
Yeah, God, it'd be interesting to get your mom's take on the FBI if that were possible, of course. But
I'm gonna defend the FBI. You have some bad apples in any organization, in any bureaucracy. Obviously, I don't agree with everything that's happened, but I do know the FBI is keeping this country safe every day.
Well, yeah, you know, having served in the military and First National Guard and then Army Reserve, I mean, several deployments, and man, I've gotten to work with some incredible FBI agents, especially the special agent bomb techs that have been on the ground with our troops in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere, you know, helping to, you know, exploit the terrorist threat and then to find out if they're making it here onto our shores. And so, yeah, there's some incredible folks, but sometimes there can be a disconnect between the political leadership in Washington and the men and women that actually work on the ground and actually get the job done for this country.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, just what you said, I'm going to go back to, because I having the 9/11 anniversary just the other day, watching all, and it's amazing that I found myself doing it. I'm usually watching news or sports on the TV, and then I turn it off. I watched all of the 9/11 documentaries again, and from National Geographic to History Channel, and it's something we cannot forget. And that's where the Bureau, that's where the NSA, that's where the CIA, if the CIA even survives, that's where they come in. You know, whether it's along the Canadian border here, we've got a major crisis, obviously, along the Mexican border. Who knows what's coming across there. But we've got to defend our shores. And I know you were in the military. In fact, you took the break from radio. And thank you for that. I'm always going to come down on that side.
He had a column that just came out last week, Back Where I've Always Belonged. John McCaslin now doing a weekly column for the Flathead Beacon. And, of course, towards the end of the column, he wrote this: I am beyond pleased to pick up where the accomplished Dave Skinner left off. Dave, all of these years, has climbed a tall mountain, and now he can enjoy the view. And, of course, he was just with us in our studios on Monday from the 23rd floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings, enjoying the view, and we were enjoying his worldview along with C.J. Hadley from Range Magazine. You know, Skinner, he's one of these... And he's not necessarily like a traditional news reporter. He's a columnist who writes opinion, but he goes out, he pulls the IRS 990 forms. He finds out where these groups are getting the money from. He shows up at their mailing address locations and finds out, oh, these groups, these outside groups that are spending all this money in Montana, they don't even have hardly any employees. They're basically operating out of a PO box. And so anyway, he's a guy who does the work that so many in the media should be doing these days. John McCaslin, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. In Washington, D.C., obviously, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has a ring to it, doesn't it? And on the next block is one of those UPS places where you can go get a UPS box and an address there. And so many people, including my former radio network, the Talk Radio Network, because, you know, we did very well. My show, I think, was on almost 300 radio stations every morning, coast to coast. And we had a Washington, D.C. presence as well. We had our studio there, and we had kind of a side angle to that, built a Capitol Hill studio. And we got one of those, you know, addresses like that. There was a P.O. box. And it was legitimate in a different way than what you're referring to with what Dave Skinner used to uncover. You know, it gives you that little prestige. Somebody goes, wow, boy, they're just a block from the White House. Well, don't believe everything you read. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and isn't that a good point? I even say this here on our show. Look, folks, question what I say, too. Don't you know, question what our listeners say. Question every source. That's what people are supposed to do in this country is we're supposed to be skeptical. But now it's like, oh, no, you're not supposed to question this side, or you're not supposed to question that side. And that's why I say, look, even question your conservative sources that you're listening to or reading.
By all means, you have to. I have a column that I'm going to be writing for the Beacon in another couple weeks. The topic is the importance of local journalism. Journalism as a whole, the newspaper industry, as everybody knows, has really been suffering. Whether it's the steel industry, whether it's the fishing industry, whether it's the coal industry, none of those three have lost jobs as fast as the newspaper industry in the last 20 years. And that is a danger to the foundation of democracy in this country. And that's what this column is going to be about. And local journalism is especially important. We've had so many local newspapers just shutter, just close down. And not only does that negatively impact the economy, not only from the newspaper itself, but from local businesses within a community. But when you don't know what's going on in your community, it's just as bad as reading something that might not be right. And where we're getting a lot of that, misinformation, disinformation, and those two words are different, look them up. Disinformation and misinformation, so much of it is coming, Aaron, from our social media, where a lot of people get their news. And it's listening to AJ talk to you. I mean, TikTok and everything else. My God, you need some legitimacy. And what I'm going to point out is you're going to get a pretty credible report on your local library board meeting or city council meeting or what happens at the Montana legislature from your local newspaper compared to your social media site or app that you go to for your news. Why? Because you're going to be assured that you have a quote-unquote professional news staff there, journalism 101 at the least. And you're going to also have somebody above them, like an editor, that's going to check them, as you say. I question myself all the time, and I try to be fair. I don't think I'm going to be Dave Skinner. In 20 years of writing a column in Washington, not to mention all my other beats, I never really gave my opinion. I did not opine. I let the people in my column give their opinions. I listened to Sean Hannity on a commercial during your break. I used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. I'd be in the studio next to Sean in New York.
Oh, wow.
And oftentimes the producers would come in during the commercial breaks and they'd say, John, you know, Rush feels this way about that topic you were just talking about. And I'd say, that's good he feels that way. And I can tell the audience that he feels that way, but you're not going to get me to say that because I knew I had to be a reporter the next day.
Yeah.
And when you're a reporter, you cannot let anybody know your political stripes. And we all have them. But you got to be very careful, and there's not enough of that in journalism today.
Well, and that was my biggest challenge when I started in talk radio, because I had come from you know, TV news, and you know, had more of that traditional you know, school of journalism background. But talk radio is a different animal. People want to hear your opinion; they want to hear what you have to say, and they will listen specifically because they disagree with you. And sometimes, and many times, they'll listen because they agree with you. But there's a lot of people that will listen just because they want to disagree with you. And so, but you're right. I think that's why so much of so-called journalist outlets have suffered so much recently. It's not just because of digital kind of being this shotgun blast that broke everything up, but I think also so many journalists have basically become, you know, I do commentary, this is talk, so we're honest about that, but there's so many people that pretend to be journalists that are really just giving their opinion and giving a one-sided perspective on things.
I agree 100%, especially when you hear about fake news, when Donald Trump or anybody else talks about fake news, you know what they're talking about. And I don't know if I'll be able to get this in the column, but they're talking about those cable television news stations, you know, whether it's Fox, MSNBC, CNN. That's where you're going to hear more opinion. Those aren't journalists on there, and I'm sure every one of your listeners already knows that. We're very educated people, you know, that are in this industry or listen to your show, and they know that those people are not journalists. Yet that's often, you know, forgotten by especially younger people that are growing up. They haven't read a newspaper. They don't know who's legitimate and who isn't. And that's what's scary.
Well, that's why, like on CNN over the weekend, this Martha's Vineyard, you know what, 50 illegal aliens get transported, apparently of their own free will, to Martha's Vineyard. And then within 48 hours, the Massachusetts National Guard is called in. The illegal aliens are removed from the island. They're put on a military base. But CNN was comparing basically flying these illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard to the Holocaust. And it's like, why would anybody take you seriously when you're trying to, you know, portray this as being news, when you're comparing, you know, people being sent to Martha's Vineyard like the Holocaust?
Yeah, I didn't hear the Holocaust remark, but I can tell you this, and I'll just stick to the governor of Florida. The reason they're doing this, obviously, is to get attention to the crisis that they have in their states. Moving away from Florida, especially Texas, especially California, especially Arizona. And I tell you what, they got attention this time. And they're getting it in Chicago. They're getting it in front of the vice president's mansion in Washington. This is going to wake people up to what's going on, because these states have suffered for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and I saw D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. She was saying, well, look, we're not a border town. We're not Texas. We can't handle these illegal aliens. It's like, well, neither is Browning, Montana, but they're suffering from a southern border problem as well with the fentanyl emergency, you know? So it's like, yeah, we get it. D.C.'s not a border town, but Montana shouldn't be a southern border state either, but we are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The crisis will continue. It's not going to end anytime soon. And you know, this is why, you know, it's important for every American. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, but on any issue, you're going to help that issue along by going to the voting booth. And that's what it all comes down to, the bottom line. I'm gravelly voiced this morning because I got up at 3 o'clock to watch the Queen's funeral.
You did.
And, you know, and they're being attacked over there, the monarchy. And AJ, you know, it's so funny. He owes me for talking about him on the show. But he was on a show, a British television show last week for his book, and was just talking about what is happening there. You know, to what has happened here along the woke society topic. And I know I'm digressing here, but, you know, incredible pageantry in a very sorrowful way today. And you know, my heart goes out not only to the family, but to the, you know, the British people. She was a constant. The Queen was a constant. The prime ministers come and go, but you know, I think that the attacks, the media, you know, they had to get that other side in about, oh, you know, this is just a representation of you know, all these years of invasions and slavery and this and that. And, you know, that's what gets me about the news media at times.